Onlooker that I am watches it go to the toilet, brush its teeth, walk down the stairs, brew tea, sit down, as if it were a puppet with no puppeteer. What will it do next? It sinks into a corner of the couch, becomes the woman drinking the tea, and the woman becomes as still as the wall or the ceiling. And it notices the woman being breathed in and out, a finger being moved ever so slightly, and I am the cup, the tea, the lips of the woman. I am the tea in the darkness, flowing down through the throat and into the belly, flowing through the system that is so dark and endless and never projecting its end, always following and open to whatever could be better than this. And now I am nothing, and now I am a pond, and now I am nothing, and now I am a cloud, and now I am the rain. And now I am again gardening, watering, becoming this tomato, this carrot, this cell, this human body, this nobody, this nothing that is its origin, its end, its joy.
The more she does for others, the happier she is. The more she gives to others, the wealthier she is.
Once, standing in front of a large audience, I realized that I didn't ever have to speak again, not then, not ever. I knew that no force on earth could prompt a word from my mouth, that there was nothing to say, and that words were absolutely unnecessary. So I just stood there and waited, fascinated to see what would come next. Finally, after a long silence, someone in the audience asked a question. And it spoke. It was called upon for a response, and its answer met the question. Nobody needed the response. I had nothing to say that people didn't already know in themselves. Yet the response happened. It was necessary. How do I know it was necessary? Because it happened. The reason this speaks is because it does. If I thought I was doing it, I wouldn't be such a fool. My only purpose is to do what I'm apparently doing. When I do the work with someone, my purpose is to sit with that person and ask the questions. If someone asks me a question, my purpose is to give my experience through my answer. I'm an effect of their suffering. There's no cause arising here. The cause is what people would call outside me, and their outside is my inside. When someone talks, I'm a listener. When someone asks, I'm a response. I understand spiritual teachers who are silent, and this one speaks. It had to go all the way. It had to take all the risks. It wouldn't let any concept of, I shouldn't say anything at all because no words are true, stop it. It says you and I, and that's where the scam begins. Just after my experience at the halfway house in 1986, it was difficult for me to say anything. Table was a lie, bird was a lie, tree was a lie. Every word separated the world into parts and seemed to teach what didn't exist. I couldn't say the word I without feeling a loss of integrity. Eventually, I found a way of speaking that seemed less untrue. Instead of, I want a glass of water, I would say, she thinks she wants a glass of water now. Instead of, I'm hungry, I would say, it thinks it's hungry now. That was as close as I could get to integrity and still be able to communicate. Later, when the communication became more mature, I began to say, I'm hungry, or I want a glass of water. This seemed like an incredible act of deceit and courage at the same time. I felt as if, through language, I would be teaching a lie and become lost in the non-existent again. But I used the I because I wanted to join with other people. It was a way of giving myself to them. I surrendered into that language out of love. I will still sometimes refer to myself as she or we or you. I will take on any pronoun and sometimes it's hard for people to grasp that. I can't see any separation as real. So it originally appeared as a liar for love. It would do anything for love. It would say anything. It would die for it over and over and over. It would sell its peace, if that were possible. It has no caring for itself. It dies for itself. It lives for itself. It will internally join anyone in anything. It will join because it is the other already. Because it is not attached to words or things, it is free to give you everything it has, everything it is. Everything in the world is like this, constantly giving itself, constantly pouring itself out into the world as the world. Generosity is our very nature. And when we try to pretend otherwise, when we hold back or give with a motive, it hurts. A motive is just an unquestioned thought. On the other side of our thinking, generosity naturally appears. There's nothing we need to do to achieve it. It's simply what we are.
We hope you have enjoyed this production of A Thousand Names for Joy, Living in Harmony with the Way Things Are, by Byron Katie, with Stephen Mitchell. This program was produced and directed by John McElroy. Executive producer, Dan Sitt. Abridgment by Jessica Kay. Text copyright 2007 by Byron Kathleen Mitchell. Production copyright 2007, Random House, Inc. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.